Good day, everybody. We are so excited to have you with us as we talk to a special guest today, Greg Wilkin with Edunamo Consulting. And Greg and I met a few months ago, wealth of knowledge and expertise on everything and anything HR related. So you are in good hands with Greg. And I'm going to ask Greg to chime in and tell us a little bit about himself and his background before we get started.
Well, thanks, Stacey. Good morning. It's great to be on the show. I'm thrilled to be a special guest. So, yes, I own my own company. It's called Edunamo Consulting, and it's a human resource consulting company. And I focus primarily on nonprofits and helping them with their HR needs. And I chose the name Edunamo very deliberately. Because it's Edunamo is the Greek word for empowerment, and the idea being that I help to empower organizations to do better, to fulfill their mission, to succeed, whatever it is that they are organized to do. I'm really about trying to help them to be more successful, particularly through HR expertise and HR services. So I'm really enjoying it. I've spent my entire career in human resources, mostly working for larger organizations and having an opportunity to do it on my own now, and helping clients is really just, I feel very fortunate to be able to do it, and really just thrilled to be on your show.
Well, great. Well, we're excited to have you, and we'll just jump right in. I have to confess, Greg, so Andy and I had gotten this question, and it's a great question. It's a little bit of a longer one, and we just both scratched our heads and said, good grief, we have no clue what to do with this. We would have no clue, and we certainly don't have the expertise, which is why we brought you in. So just to frame the question, and then we'll dig in a little deeper, kind of the nuts and bolts for anyone listening is basically, how do you fire a longtime employee who isn't willing to change? However, there are some nuances, as with everything, so let me read the full question, and then we can dive in. The person who wrote this said, I have an employee who has been here 20 plus years and lacks the necessary skills for her position. She hasn't shown herself either willing or able to work to meet new expectations. I say new because I was hired as the executive director a year ago to help professionalize our organization. As the ED, I've articulated expectations, but it doesn't seem to make any difference as she truly believes she knows what she's doing. The problem is that what she was doing wasn't working. Two things that complicate this. Number one, she didn't write much down during the last 23 years, so we'll lose valuable information if she leaves. And number two, she's 61. I don't want to run into the perception of age discrimination. Isn't that a protected class? And then this question goes on to say, what will this look like to outsiders? Is there anything I need to do to ensure the organization is protected during this process? Are there ways to make this easier for all involved? She's put decades of her life into this place, but she's also clearly not able to meet the core functions of the position. So, wow, that's a tricky one. Any advice, Greg?
It is a tricky one, and I was going to say it's a great question, but it's actually multiple questions, but they're all good questions. And whoever wrote it, I commend them because they've really given it some thought. Obviously, this is a tough decision for them, and anytime you consider letting somebody go from employment, it should be a tough decision, and you should give it a lot of thought. So I compliment the writer of the question right off the bat, just for really taking it very seriously. But I'll start with kind of the legal framework. So I assume that the employee is not a contract employee; they don't have a contract employee. So most likely the employee is considered to be at will. And what that means is at will employees can leave their organization anytime. They're not bound by any fixed contract or period of time. And alternatively, the organization, the employer, can let them go at any time for any reason or no reason whatsoever. That's what at will employment means. Now, I would not recommend under any circumstances that an employer ever let an employee go for no reason. There should be a reason if you're going to terminate somebody's employment. And certainly in this case, a 20 plus year employee who has been with the organization a long time, if the executive director is going to make the decision to let them go, they should have an answer or a reason, even though legally they're not required to. So there are really kind of two ways that they can go, and two ways to get to the ultimate goal, which is, at least based on the question, how do they let them go? The first would be an involuntary termination for performance. And the question says that she or the executive director has articulated expectations to the employee. So I assume that the employee, the 20-year employee, has been told where she's falling short in terms of performance expectations and what she might need to do to meet those expectations. Ideally, those would be in writing. There would be some written record of performance management or performance counseling. So typically it would involve, you know, a verbal warning, maybe a written warning, a final warning, which says if you don't meet the expectations, it may lead to your involuntary termination. So I would hope that there would be some record of performance counseling for this employee. And given that the executive director has said she has made the expectations clear, there should be some record of that. If it's only verbal, that's okay, but written documentation is certainly better. And if the executive director has laid out what the expectations are, provided the tools and the resources for this person to do the job, and she hasn't been able to, that's a pretty good case for involuntary termination. So they certainly could go that route. The fact that she's 61, that is a protected class, but unless there's any other evidence that age is a factor, it shouldn't be too much of a concern. Just about everybody who works today is in some sort of protected category, and that's not in and of itself a reason to not discipline or let them go. It's just something to be conscious of. So that would be the first option, would be to just simply let the person go for performance involuntarily. But given her long tenure with the organization and the fact that that the executive director is a little bit concerned about her knowledge and leaving it, the other option would be some sort of severance package. And if there is a larger kind of reorganization going on within the nonprofit, or maybe this position is being eliminated or restructured or in some way, then they could offer her a severance package and as part of a reorganization, and they could even make it contingent upon her staying for a certain period of time. So, for example, your position is being eliminated in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We need you to stay until the very end. And if you stay and are cooperative in the transition at the end of that period of time, here's the severance package that we would offer you. And in exchange for severance, they could get a waiver and a release of claims. Not that they need to be terribly concerned, but it's always a good idea if an employee, especially a long-term employee, is leaving, just to know that they've waived their claims and there won't be any dispute down the road. And that's a contract that they would enter into on the basis of offering her some sort of a severance package. So those would really be the...
Let me jump in for a minute, Greg. The severance, is there a typical... I hear this a lot out there about people talking about severance packages. Is there a typical rule of thumb of what that package should be? Is it a percentage of the person's salary, or do you happen to know that?
There really isn't. There's certainly no legal requirement for how much severance should be offered. It really is based on company past practice, the size of the organization, the budget, if there is any precedent for what they've done in prior cases. But there is no, there's no kind of state mandated requirement, federal requirement. It's purely voluntary on the part of the organization and on the part of the person who's receiving it as to whether or not to accept it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And so that, you know, depending on their budget and kind of the internal culture, that I, without knowing any of the other details, I think that's, it's certainly it's the less adversarial, it's the less contentious way of letting somebody go. It respects her contribution to the organization over the years, allows her to leave kind of with, her head up on a high note with some dignity, and everybody presumably would be happy. The downside is that it's more expensive, in that you do have to pay severance to an employee if you choose to, and that's certainly more than an involuntary termination. But in a case like this with a long-term employee where, you know, it sounds like there's been some changes internally with the new executive director, it might be a way for both sides, the organization and the individual, to part ways kind of in a mutually amicable way, and everybody goes on, with their respective careers and the direction.
Is there, for severance, Greg, I guess one of the things that comes to mind is, do you have to worry about setting a precedence, or can severance be an individual decision for each employee, so that it's not looked upon as, oh, well, you gave severance and gave this much to one employee, so does that mean you have to handle all employees that leave in that manner or are offered a severance package, something similar?
Yeah, that's a great question and a very valid concern. So a couple of things to keep in mind. In any severance agreement that I would recommend and that I've been part of, you would have a confidentiality provision in it. So a paragraph or a clause in the contract that says, this agreement is confidential, shouldn't be shared with anyone. So you can put that language into a severance agreement. Now, the reality is that sometimes word does get out, and companies who typically offer severance on a regular basis, employees who work there know that, and they do, to a certain extent, come to expect it. But you can put some parameters around the ability of somebody to talk about with a confidentiality provision, and every case is really different. So even if an organization has paid severance out to 2, 3, 4 employees, every case is different depending on how long the employee's been there, the circumstances of them leaving, and where the organization is at any particular time. So they really, what you have done in the past really is not precedent setting for anything going forward.
Perfect. Good. So then, thinking about sort of the softer side of this question, the less legal, that talked about what will this look like to outsiders, is there any way to kind of make this easier for all involved or ensure the organization is protected during this process? Do you have any, thoughts about that that are not necessarily the legal side of things, but that you've seen that how people have handled things to make it a bit easier for all? And
yeah, that's always it's an important consideration with any separation. And in this case, if they were to offer her offer some sort of severance package as part of the position elimination or restructure, the employee presumably would be able to work the last few weeks and as I said, leave on a high note. So to the extent that the organization and the executive director is worried about kind of outside perceptions, that certainly would be a consideration. But sometimes in cases like this, where there is a new leader, new leadership, putting your own stamp on the organization and bringing in your own team and letting people go who have been there for a long time actually sends a positive message, because it says that, you know, we're changing things. I think in the question, the executive director said, I was hired as ED a year ago to professionalize our organization. I obviously don't know anything about the employee who's struggling, but if she doesn't kind of fit in with that new professional kind of culture that the executive director is creating, letting her go could be seen as a positive thing to the outside. So it kind of really depends on the circumstances, but it isn't. Letting somebody go isn't always perceived as negative. It can be perceived as a positive thing. And so it's helpful to really kind of step back and look at it from that perspective.
I think that's a really great point. Perhaps none of us know this organization or who this is that is writing this, but perhaps there were hopes from the board that some of that, maybe some internal shakeup needs to happen just for the organization to get to the next level. So I think that's someone who's not scared to make change, but can do it thoughtfully and, using some of the guidance you've given, probably is doing what they need to do in this situation.
Right. I always use the analogy. I was never much of an athlete when I was younger, but I do like to watch a lot of sports. it's kind of like the new coach of a team. The coach comes in and wants to bring in his or her own players, and some of the players on the team just didn't fit with where the new coach is going. So it's a little bit similar in that respect. The new leader of an organization has the really the right and the opportunity to build the team that he or she wants. And that means hiring the right people, but sometimes unfortunately means letting go people who are, part of the old regime, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your insights on this. I know that certainly answered it. What it does for me is raises about 10 other questions that we probably don't have time for today, but we'll have to bring you back because it's, all of this HR stuff can get really complicated. And that leads to maybe a final question before we wrap up is what does the small nonprofit do if they don't have, they don't have an HR professional, their executive director is wearing five hats or they have a really small staff. So do you have any words of wisdom for them?
Hire a good HR consultant is always my words of wisdom, and I can recommend one. It's a tough area, HR, used to be many years ago that you really had to kind of go out of your way to get in trouble. You had to intentionally discriminate against somebody. But HR has gotten to be so complicated these days that you can get in trouble even with not knowing what to do, not doing the right things. There are so many regulatory agencies at the federal, state, and local level that are monitoring and auditing what organizations are doing that it's very easy to get in trouble. So having expertise, whether it's in-house or as an outside consultant, really is critical. And there are a lot of HR consultants. Some are good, some are not so good, but that's an area. If your organization belongs to any kind of an association, whether it's a chamber of commerce or any other professional organization, they often may have resources available to members that help with HR practices and expertise. A lot of good information on the internet. And the agencies that are responsible for enforcing employment laws, like the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the Department of Labor, the Department of Economic Training and Rehabilitation here in Nevada, and some of the other agencies have information about the various federal and state laws that organizations are required to comply with. And then there are a number of good HR professional organizations. Probably the biggest and the most well known is called SHRM. It stands for the Society of Human Resource Management. It's based in Washington, D.C., but they've got chapters all over the world, but certainly all over the country. And there is one here in Southern Nevada. And that's another good source of information on anything related to human resources. So there are a number of resources available to organizations that are struggling. And I certainly am available to help anyone. As I said at the very beginning, I really focus my practice on nonprofits and love helping them, either working with their existing HR staff or if it's somebody who kind of got thrust into that role by default, helping them. And I'm available. My website is just endunamo.com. It's endunamo.com. And you can reach me there. And I would be more than happy to help anyone that's struggling with any of these issues. It's a passion of mine, and I love kind of sharing my expertise and helping people solve HR-related problems.
Well, thank you for your insights and your knowledge and sharing that with us today. And we'll make sure to put all of your credentials on the website so anyone can reach out to you as needed. I am a huge believer in having an HR consultant on retainer. I think it's an investment nonprofits can't afford not to make. It's something that absolutely can get an organization in trouble. Some of the best performing organizations have had epic HR fails that have taken them back years, and none of us want to see that. So we are, through Nonprofit Everything, doing our best to try to impart some knowledge that hopefully helps you along the way, but also bring on experts like Greg and others to share what you need to know. So thanks again, Greg, for being with us, and thanks to all of our listeners for joining.